You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
It's a glorious day, and we could see what kind of day it is right now, too.
Not going to lie, I'm energized right now.
Because we can see outside on one of the most famous streets in all the United States.
Look, there's a shirtless bike rider.
On a divvy. Well, yeah. No, that wasn't a divvy. That was just his own bike.
Whatever.
But shirtless bike rider.
Bike rider.
And that's benign, really.
Yeah, I mean, the nonsense that we used to see down here. How many years were we down here in the first Midwest Bank studio?
Celebrated 10 years
being down in here
since we've been down here. Yeah, all of our years since you and I moved to Afternoon were down here. You're right. And that's been what, 8 years that we've been
since?
13. I think this came like in 11, I want to say sometime in 2011.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the first Midwest Bank studio on State Street.
Oh, it's such a boost. It's a cold glass of water in the face. It's a hard smack across your face.
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like a good thing. Well,
it's a wake up for me. I like it.
It's reinvigorating. How about a plunge into a nice pool instead of someone throwing cold water
into
your
face? Doesn't that reinvigorate you?
No, I mean, maybe in the big picture and the long term, but I don't think there's anything.
Woo! Yes! Let's go!
Let me throw some water in your face.
Let's do it right now. Here. Here. Right.
Get out of here. Really? You want me to? Oh, boy, that is cold, too.
Right.
You want me to do this?
Yes.
Where I don't want to get... Just throw it.
I don't want to get liquid.
Don't get it on the equipment.
Yeah, I know,
come on,
right.
We just came back down here,
right.
Waddle.
Right here.
Here we go.
Give it to me in the face, Black.
You're talking about water?
Yes.
All right. The camera's right there.
Okay.
Waddle is describing this like a splash in the face of cold water, but I don't think that's pleasurable.
I didn't say it was pleasurable. I said it was reinvigorating.
I mean, geez.
Come on!
Hold on, I'm watching the junk. Ah,
yes!
Yeah,
yes!
Got it.
Woo! Let's do a show!
I can't believe we just did that.
Yes.
I mean, they can't take us anywhere.
Sophie was quite forced
with that
spray. Yeah. I mean, jeez.
That was good.
I don't think Tom was ready for that.
See, I don't want to.
Don't sign me up for that.
Listen, I don't want to jump in an entirely, my whole body in it, immersed in a cold pool. But that was good.
That was good.
Yes, I'm ready to roll.
All right, good.
What is today, a Tuesday?
Today's a Tuesday.
Dang,
does it feel like
that.
A Friday now?
No. I can't see the finish line.
I can't believe you let me do that.
Why?
Because
I just want the rest of it because it's a delicious
bottle
of cold water. But yeah, it's reinvigorating. I've always said, people always said, well, is it distracting? No, it's not distracting. It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
People will do some odd things. I had a man put a cup of his feces right in front of
me.
That's
probably
right
the most memorable one.
We've had an elderly woman flash us. We've had somebody come by on a pretty regular basis and spit on the windows.
Yes.
We've had a brick thrown at us.
Yes.
I mean, like, some odd things happen. It keeps you on your toes.
When is the, what are we setting for the over-under? It's 204.
For a weird experience?
No, for the bird. When do we get our first finger today? By the way, my buddy Jeff Brusso was at the White Sox game over the weekend.
Yeah.
And he has a son who's, like around 14, 15, somewhere in that age. He saw the Waddle and Sylvie picture, and they took a picture of him flipping us off.
Yeah.
My wife goes, no, he's just pointing to you guys. I go, no, look closer.
Yeah.
He's flipping us off.
And my buddy, Mike Bumpus, who just moved to Florida, actually saw that and sent it to me. And said,
it's great.
Yeah. He said, keep winning hearts.
I think we should encourage it to Sox games where find the Waddle and Sylvie billboard at Guaranteed Rate Field and, like, you know how you go to Springfield and you rub Abraham Lincoln's nose? You know, like, that's supposed to be good luck.
I did not know that's what you do.
Oh, yeah. It's a little worn out. I think that's good luck. I think the thing to do at Guaranteed Rate Field is to take a picture in front of our billboard and flip it off and send it to us.
Or something. Just don't deface the picture because we don't want you to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, I defaced your picture and the poster. I will admit that now.
Oh,
on Friday.
You did.
Yeah. But I don't think you want to do that at Guaranteed
Never
Rate
would have
Field
guessed.
Because then you may get in some serious trouble. So don't do that. But if you want to make an odd gesture towards our picture and send it to us.
You're talking about cool. at Crosstown on yeah. Friday. Yeah. It was brought to you by Miller Lite. And Waddle, there was a picture advertising our appearance right above the urinal. You brought a Sharpie in there.
I did, in an uncomfortable fashion for them, maybe not me. I was actually reaching over somebody who was using the urinal while I was drawing the pictures because I was in a tight time crunch because I had to be back on the air in like 60 seconds.
Not really.
So I couldn't have waited for the person to finish up and move along, so I actually had to do the artwork reaching over someone as they were going
all over the teeth. You know, you wrote, I love the White Sox.
On your forehead?
Yep.
You do love the White Sox.
I like watching them. I'm continuing to get this. Sylvie, are you being a cap here? Are you flipping? The White Sox are on our radio station. The White Sox are the better baseball team in town.
Yeah.
We talk about good things in sports. I'm not a Bucks fan, but guess what? We're talking about the Bucks tonight and game 6 of the NBA Finals. This is a Chicago team even more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unlike the Bucks and it being the NBA Finals, we talk about what's hot in sports, and the White Sox are red hot.
I think you have advertised yourself accurately that you're a diehard Cubs fan, but you're not a White Sox hater.
Never have been. Never right. have been.
No, I agree. I've never sensed that from you.
And maybe there was a time when I was 11 or 12 that I sort of experimented with being a bandwagon jumper in 83. You know, the winning ugly year. Greg Luzinski, Carlton Fisk, Julio Cruz, Harold Baines. That team, you know, I never experienced winning. I started the winning ugly team, the original Tony La Russa team.
Is that one of the Twins pitchers?
Why?
He had a Twins hat on, and he had a tattoo on his arm that looked like one of the tattoos, I think. Who was the kid that pitched the first game yesterday?
Oh, yeah, it looked a little like him. Like a young guy? Yeah.
It looked like him.
Yeah. But who knows? We've seen many
you
famous
know
people.
That this is one of my talents, too.
Yeah, you identify that,
I identify
sir.
People. Well, I saw Donny Osmond.
Doug Flutie.
Peter King. Like, I've identified a ton of different people.
Biggest guest.
Beth Mowins.
You're right. The one of the voices of the Cubs now.
Former President Bill Clinton.
That's the most famous person we've ever seen outside.
Yes.
It was such a cool moment.
Yeah.
Because we weren't anticipating him coming.
Oh, my God. That's Bill Clinton.
And he was waving and being all gregarious, and it looked like an imposter the way how outward he was
being. And then you saw the Secret Service agents that were following him closely behind him.
Yeah, our former boss tried to get him in studio.
Yes.
And his Secret Service people shoot him away.
I have flagged in others as well.
Well, do you remember the time? There was one time that Jay Cutler had to go to the DMV, and he walked by.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, hey, I'm going to the DMV. No one recognized him. He had a hoodie on.
Yeah.
Put the hood over him. He's like, I'm going to the DMV. I'll be back.
Yeah.
And then he just popped in.
Yeah.
There was another time Brandon Marshall
flagged him in. I saw him.
He was listening.
Yeah.
And he was waving to us in his car. He put the emergency blinkers on. And right here on State Street, which is a no parking zone, and he ran into the First Midwest Bank studio.
Common. I caught Common's attention as he was getting into a car, and he waved to us as well.
In February of 2020, I got to meet Common for the first time at First Take when I got to do a little on-air work for First Take.
So, listen, we have identified many a famous person walking by.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're glad to be back here. The phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. I did show this to my oldest son, who is, as of now, a White Sox fan.
What do you mean, as of now?
As of now, I mean, I think there's room for change here.
Well, with the way that team on the north side is playing versus the way the team on the south side is playing?
It's not a good time for me to start selling my team.
I think the White Sox have themselves a good moment in fan harvesting right now.
They do, yes.
If you have a young baseball fan in the city of Chicago, I think the White Sox are harvesting quite well right now.
And I showed him the celebration because I just splashed you with the water, and it's... He didn't understand either. Like, to explain someone who doesn't know the game well, Daddy, why are they spraying him with water? Why are they dumping ice all over him? You know, it's really something, the way the walk-off celebration has evolved, where, like, powder gets thrown.
Yeah.
Shirts get taken
off. It's better than explaining the Cesar Esturas celebration. You don't want to explain that one to the youngsters.
Undercarriage. So this was last night. You know, I was thinking, boy, are we going to go from talking about the two great wins against the Astros to 24 hours later talking about the letdown that was getting swept by the Minnesota Twins? It was looking like that for six innings of the game two of the doubleheader. The seventh happened, and then you had Gavin Sheets at the plate with two on.
Here's a pitch. Sheets with a blast to right. It's gone! White Sox win it! Oh, what a shot by Gavin Sheets!
It was never in question. Gavin Sheets on a 3-1 fastball, he let it go. That's why Tony La Russa let his kids play tonight. He had faith.
He is being mobbed at home plate. They just dumped the entire Gatorade bucket on his head. And if he survives this, he's going to be a happy man. He absolutely massacred one to right.
It's incredible their dominance over the Twins, even in a game where it looked like they were on the brink of getting swept.
Two things. As you heard, Berrios was unhittable. And then all of a sudden you had the Abreu home run, then you had the Moncada home run, and then he got himself in trouble in the seventh. But like that was one of those unexpected wins that are usually more enjoyable than other wins. And the other thing I noticed was Tony and Sheets had themselves a moment afterwards.
Well, yeah, it's like it was like Grandpa was waiting for his grandson. Yeah,
Sylvie.
Here's what I don't want happening. Because they hugged after the game. You see how good Tony La Russa is for the crew?
They're one.
Well, and look, he just walked off. You're getting a nice warm hug from Uncle Tony.
They're one. They are one.
They are one. Everything's going well right
now.
Darren said it in the clip. Tony let the kids play.
Yeah.
Boom. Rewarded.
Well, the Gavin Sheets call-up has been exact. I mean, that's what made Adam Eaton expendable.
Yeah.
It's
just like there are so many fun things and good things about this team. And Rick Hahn has done such a good job. And these guys, one after the other, step up and they're given their opportunities and they take turns delivering. And it's just been, it's been a glorious 3 months of baseball to watch here on the South.
It's one of those years. It's the best. It's when, before you have any sustained success, that climb up.
No, you've always
Because you're going to, eventually guys aren't going to live up to it. And this isn't a White Sox thing. This is an everything thing. You know, even Derrick Rose, who was on top of the world at one time, things flipped. You know, look at where the Cubs are at this point. There was a moment in time where nobody on that north side in 15 could do anything wrong.
Yep.
And those years are the ones you have to appreciate and just live in the moment. And you'll worry about October in October, but I think just right now, enjoy every single moment. And if you want to react, 312-332-3776. Did you see this weird stat about it's the first a walk-off home run against a starting pitcher since for the White Sox? I'll give you that stat because it never happens, right?
Because a starting pitcher very infrequently gets to the ninth inning.
Right, and this is a seven-inning doubleheader, right. So very rarely, I'll tell you, the last time the White Sox walked off a starting pitcher, you're going to remember these names that I give you. I also want to go over some salaries in town, all right? All the rage is about the trades and also about how much everyone is worth. I want to go to Carlos Rodon, Anthony Rizzo, and Javi Baez. We'll do that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're inside the First Midwest Bank studio. I got Twitch up on my computer. I'm told, too, like, the new camera angles that...
they're checking in on all your account information?
Right.
Don't be buying anything on Amazon or anything over there.
No. I got my notepad up. I got my Twitter page up.
I'm not allowed to have the Twitter page up on my cam or on my not my camera on my computer.
Why not?
Because there's intense fear behind the screen over there, behind the glass, that I'll hit a button that actually knocks us off of Twitter or Twitch. Yeah, on Twitch.
You're not allowed to have the Twitter button up.
No, the Twitch.
You could have your Twitter account up. So I've got a Twitch, and like a couple of people are saying that the point is they want me to wear a camera. So they could, I could get like a point of view from my perspective of you.
Wear a head camera.
I'm game for it, right? I mean, I think one of the cameras is not being utilized today. We are still
strap it to your forehead.
We are still trying to work out all the little different camera angles and things. You know, we were in the other studio for so long. We had the down, but now the way this is kind of a studio in the round, if you will, right? Like a semicircle.
Yeah.
So. My back is sort of like to the camera, but that's okay. Less of the beady eyes.
I don't think you have beady eyes. You're just intense every now and then.
You could just angle your chair to look up at the camera and just, you're not stare making eye it. Contact with Waddle.
Yeah,
just,
I don't need to look at you in the face listen to after each other. 15 freaking it's, years. It's I don't like need you guys to be are, staring into
driving
your
down
eyes.
The street. You don't have to look at each other. Just look forward. Oh, someone's got to talk, though.
Yeah. No, not really.
I was away for the mic. You would think that's when the other radio professional would understand.
I think sometimes
isn't there
less
another
is
mic right there? You could talk out of the other mic.
I guess so, yeah.
I thought that was a visual. Weren't you looking into the camera?
Yeah.
Why do I need to narrate it? This is baseball.
Well, I mean,
we're talking baseball.
But that's not the only place.
Let the video tell the story.
Sylvie with the 0-2 count, taking a look into the camera.
Right.
There you go.
Waddle with
like,
the pitch.
Like, I could get all chatty on you and then over talk, and then it ruins the baseball presentation.
Castellanos with a deep fly ball. We're on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Remember, we're now available on the FM side of your radio. You've always listened to us on ESPN 1000, AM 1000. Make sure you preset us one there. And check out the new 100.3 HD2. So you have HD radio, you probably don't even know it. Go to 100.3 FM. And then go click it one over, scan it one up, seek it one up.
Crystal clear, and what you will hear is not only clear, but it will be intelligent.
By the way, that contest is still live. The take a picture of your dash for a bash.
First 1,000, right?
Yes. Show us your dash to win a bash. So show us you're listening to 100.3 HD2. Take a picture of your dash. Go to ESPN1000.com. It's pretty easy. I went through this to make sure because people, well, where do I put my photo? Go to the contest page, and then you'll see the contest there, and it's step-by-step instructions. It's all there for
pretty
you.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And then if we pick you of the 1,000 pictures we get, we will show up to your house for a Twitch sidecast. For a Sunday football game that involves our team.
It's on.
And we're going to bring a party to your house. You can invite your family, invite your neighbors, and we will be there as well. We will broadcast on Twitch and everything like that.
It'll be a blast.
Yes, it will.
I'll have fun.
Yes, we will. All right, so I've got a couple questions for you. And, you know, we've talked a lot about bias. We've certainly talked a lot about Bryant, okay? And with Boris, whatever he's going to get, we've talked a lot about the comp with Rendon. I feel like
Arenado's also
Arenado. I feel like we've been there, done that. All right. So I want to zoom in on three, maybe even two guys, one on each side of town.
Okay.
Since we were just talking White Sox and they're the better team and they just hit the walk-off home run, Carlos Rodon. So you just finished signing Lance Lynn, but he's 34 years old? So I believe he's going to be like 37 by the time the deal's up. He's happy here. He signed the two-year deal just shy of $40 million. He's pretty affordable.
He's made a bunch of money as well, so he's in a different situation than Rodon.
He's older, and you could see some regression, but he has also had he's pitched his best baseball in the last 5 years. With the couple of years in Texas where he was a Cy Young finalist, and this year where he should be a Cy Young finalist, his best years have been recently.
How old did you say he was?
Isn't he 34?
34 years old, 100%.
Lance. Yeah.
So you're
when
good.
When does he turn 35?
Not until May of next year.
All right, so you've got 35 and 36.
Totally cool with that.
Yeah. Now Rodon's a different story. Unlike the long career that Lance Lynn has had and the recent success, a long period of recent success for Lance Lynn, you have Carlos Rodon, who has had injury issues and never truly lived up to what his early first-round draft would suggest. Until this year. And now, he's 28 years old, so next year he turns 29. It will be the full year. He turns 29 December 10th, right in the middle of free agency.
Let me ask you a question real quick to interject. Because of 28, he's only made 108 starts total, going back to the 2015 season because of injuries. He's only got, 633 career innings on his arm, but he has had some injuries. Is that kind of a push and a pull here, or you look at him and say, yeah, he had some injuries, but he doesn't have a lot of work on that arm, so at 28, it may be a young 28.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. If they look at the injuries and they get scared, or if they look at the less miles and they don't. Now, but again, it's
not less miles, the football coach, but less miles on his arm.
Less miles, yes, right, very good. Yeah. But again, it's only a one-year span here. We're talking about a one-year sample size. Now, all the things look great. He's throwing hard. The stuff is nasty. High strikeouts, deep in games. On some of the games, this is really where I've been impressed with Rodon. The few games that he has not had his A stuff, he's found ways to wiggle out of problems. And he's never truly had that really bad start. And you mentioned the stat yesterday. I think it's
seven starts where he's given up two hits or less.
So we're talking about premier stuff in a 16-game start, starting slate. A year ago, Ricky Renteria was bringing him in relief, and he was misusing him. We felt bad for Rodon. What was he going to be? He had a showcase. The Cubs were at a showcase, too. The Sox were at his showcase. The Sox at first looked like they were going to walk away. He has a showcase. I think they signed him for $3 million. Now he's a free agent going into his year 29 year. So if he were to sign like a 5-year deal, you're getting 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, right?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good prime years.
Yeah. Again, you've only got 600 innings on that arm collectively.
But you only have 96 innings of success.
Good point.
So it's this
push and pull.
Push and pull, this sort of the Wayne game, but pitching is at a premium. And his stuff hasn't gotten worse after the sticky scandal either. What I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think there's been anything noticeable there. What he did to the Astros with those strikeouts, when they're monitoring all this, should be commended. So I think this is the most interesting of all. We talk about Javi. We talk about Bryant. And I want to get to Rizzo because I have a couple points I want to bring up about Rizzo's salary. What is Rodon going to get?
Well, it's interesting because we know who Javi is. We've said that. That's kind of been a baseball conversation you and I have had for a long time. You know who Javi is. After all this time, he's going to hit you 35 to 42 home runs. He's going to play very well in the field, despite the fact that he committed two errors last night. I think he's got more errors through this part of the season than he did in all of 2019. But he has gold glove potential and caliber. He's got gold gloves to his resume. But he has warts that you can't overpay for. With Rodon, there is a certain amount of mystery. This has been dominant. 16 starts this year. Do you know how many starts where he's given up more than one earned run? Like I just gave you.
Of the 16, so 7 of them, 2 hits or less.
Correct.
I'll go 9 of them, 1 run or less.
No, more than one run.
More than
one earned run in a start. How many times has Carlos Rodon?
I'll give you 7.
Four starts he's had where he's given up more than one earned run
That's pretty crazy.
In a start. There, I mean, look, somebody is going to pay him and pay him a lot of money. You would hope that would be the White Sox. What is that worth based on this?
That's what
this
I
want to
know. What
size?
Is that worth? Because if Jake would have hit free agency after 15, he would have been paid a ton. But if you remember, he went to free agency, I believe it was after 17. Was it 17 or 18?
17, right?
17.
And then he went to
18,
the
19, 20, right?
To the Phillies in for free agency.
He signed for 3 years, $75 million, but he was older. He was declining.
Yeah.
Rodon's best days may be ahead of him now. This is all untapped. So are we talking about 5 years of $25 million? Are we talking about 5 years at 30? What do you think Rodon is going to get? Where would the over-under be? And I'll tell you, I don't believe Rodon's going to sign like Lance Lynn.
I don't either. Because he hasn't had a bite at the apple yet.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. And is this really a slam dunk that Anthony Rizzo's going to get paid? I want to bring this up to you guys as we talk some baseball. We got some football to get into. The NBA game is tonight. A lot of fun stuff. It's Waddle and Sylvie inside the First Midwest Bank studio.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Boom, boom, boom. Talking some Chicago baseball, salaries in particular. White Sox baseball back on the air tonight, 6:30 with the pregame show. Great call by Len and DJ yesterday on the walk-off Sheets home run. Carlos Rodon, this has to continue, obviously. You know, it's 16 games so far, but let's play it out. Let's say he is dominant. And you'll remember some of the starts then in the postseason. And if he's good in the postseason, he's certainly going to get paid. It's going to be 29 next year.
It's a delicate balance. I just don't think, I mean, unless you offered him something that was ridiculously great, I think he's going to visit free agency. Remember, he's a Boris client as well. I mean, your agent is going to advise you, and ultimately you are the client. You are the one making the decision. But
is
history
he Boris? Is he still Boris?
I thought he was. Am I wrong? Did he break away
from
Boris?
He's still Scott Boris.
Yeah, I thought he was still Boris.
And like, even if it wasn't, I would think that why would you, unless you're so happy here and you're as a pitcher who's entering year 29, coming off a possible Cy Young Award season, you've got to let 29 other teams negotiate with you.
Got to go get your cabbage.
Right? After all the struggles you've been through?
I would think so. And he may end up deciding that let somebody else kind of set the market or see what the market is for him and then, you know, make a decision whether or not the White Sox, if they're, you know, they're offering something similar, maybe you decide to stay here. But
so what's the total? I asked people on Twitter, and you could tweet me at Waddle and Sylvie. What do you guys believe the total of if this continues? Now, look, if he has a second half meltdown, he has a bad postseason, all this conversation is off. But the way Rodon has looked to me is that this isn't going away anytime soon. So what would his free agent total be? Like, we always prorate Bryant and Javi and to some extent Rizzo, but what would a 29-year-old free agent pitcher coming off a Cy Young type year look like?
All right, do you want I need reference. So I went to is it SpotTrack? For the 2021 starting pitcher salary rankings. And Jacob DeGrom, as at the top of the list, was $36 million. Gerrit Cole is $36 million. These are per year. Greinke's 35. Strasburg is 35. Scherzer's 34.5. Verlander's 33. Bauer's 31. Kershaw's 31. Chris Sale is 30. And rounding out the top 10 is Patrick Corbin from Washington, who's $24 million. Is it 20 to 25 million for 3 years with some options involved yourself?
Corbin would be the comp, maybe. Like, I don't believe, I heard you talk with the guys. I didn't want to say anything off the air. You were saying like a 3-year deal. There's no way Carlos Rodon, if this continues, is settling for 3 years. You're not going to get him. You're not going to land Carlos Rodon. It starts to me with a 29-year-old pitcher getting a 5-year contract. And we're starting probably somewhere at $25 million.
Could you sign him to a deal that was 5 years, that it's $3 million, and then he's got two player options in the last 2 years?
Why would he do that? If he's got the whole league after him in a league that needs pitching, the North Side doesn't have one good pitcher besides Kyle Hendricks.
Well, because if in fact, well, depending on what the market says, he could become a free agent again after 3 years.
But a pitcher at 32 is, like I said with Jake, if Jake would have hit free agency at his age at 15, at his high point, he would have made more than 3 years, $75 million.
Yeah, this one's not as easy to me to determine, because this is a very small sample size of greatness.
Right, and that's why I believe after all the conversations about Bryant, all this stuff about Javi and $200 million, how much Javi's going to get, I think the most interesting scenario for a free agent in Chicago sports currently is Carlos Rodon, because of those reasons.
I agree with you 100%. I just don't know I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how other teams are going to view him. And again, there's a lot of baseball left. And if he pitches like this for the remainder of
the season,
and he has a spectacular postseason, then I think you're looking at, yes, a five-year deal. If there is some up and down, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think there is some uncertainty with him in terms of his value, not because of how great he's been, but because of his past. And the larger the sample size, the less risk I think in a team will kind of factor into their offer.
On that note, here's the other point I wanted to make about Rizzo. I watched Rizzo. Rizzo had a good game yesterday. He was on with Cap today. I think he had two hits yesterday. Rizzo right now has a WAR of 1.1. Very modest numbers once again, okay? He's hitting .249. His on-base percentage is .345. His slug is .436. His OPS is a very average 781.
And I said to you the other day, I'm watching him closely, I don't think he's had nearly as good a defensive year as he has in the past as well.
And then last year, he had an OPS of 755. His OPS plus this year is 114, and last year it was 105. And there are many years when this is his Cubs tenure. Like 152, 146, 143, 131, 124, 140, and then 105, 114. That sounds to me like an older player,
yep,
whose best days are behind him.
Yep.
And he's got a back injury, by the way, that has continued to get worse the more years he's playing. You add that fact that he plays first base, in which there are many guys who can and do play first base. So I was of the thinking that Rizzo was going to get a deal with the Cubs, like it's somewhere around $100 million. Schwarber this year, at a younger age, had to play for, coming off a bad year, shortened year, not as accomplished as Rizzo. He's playing for like $10 million with Washington.
1 year, $10 million?
Explain to me why Anthony Rizzo, who is going into his free agency year at 32 with a back injury, where 2 years now of stats have gone down at a position that isn't a premium position, why is he going to get paid?
I don't know that he's going to get paid a significant amount on the free agent market. I'm just a believer that he's no longer one of the upper echelon players, but you still have to fill out your lineup. So if you can get Anthony Rizzo on your terms, it's not a bad idea. If you can get Javi Baez on your terms at a team-friendly deal, it's not a bad idea. Then, because you're a big market team, you go out and try to sign some of these other guys that are in their prime and have proven over the last couple of years that they're better players. I'm not telling you to overpay for these guys.
So what is Rizzo like while we're playing this game? Because when they offered him $70 million, I'm like, he's not going to sign for $70 million. What'd they offer him? Was it five for 70?
Five for 70. Like, he may be lucky to get that offer.
Right. I mean, are you paying Anthony Rizzo multi-years $15 million with the bulky back and the declining numbers? It's a young man's game, and it's a position where anybody can play first base. Now, not as well as Rizzo, I don't know. Maybe I'm panicking here. Well, but I really feel like he's had a bad 2020 and he's had a not good 2021. Why are you paying a first baseman at 32 years old?
They may not. I think that these guys, you've just got to decide what they're worth to you. And if they don't want to take what you're offering, then you move on.
I just, like, the feel-good stuff. I love Riz. I love everything that Riz has been. Hoyer got him three different times. They drafted him in Boston. He acquired him in San Diego. They traded for him here in Chicago. But you see the way the Jake Arrieta reunion tour has gone. Like, if you're going to be resetting, are you going to fill out now all the $70 million, $100 million now? I'm not giving Anthony Rizzo $100 million.
And they may decide that they just want to move on from all of them.
312-332-3776. What do you think, Cubs fans? And what is Rodon worth? I want to take your phone calls. It's also Would You Rather Tuesday. Send us your best Would You Rathers. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. And tweet them to us. Tyler Aki's in for Abdallah today, who has the day off. Chris Black is here. So tweet him to Black and Tyler, and we'll take your phone calls. I also want to get into some NBA. Tonight is the night that I am most looking forward to in the NBA in two full years. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Getting some shrapnel from Twitch. T. Ferrero says, love Sylvie, but sometimes he aggravates me. Oh, I just disagree. I just disagree on the Rizzo take.
Well, what does he disagree with?
My guy Liam says, I'm making his head hurt today. I guess here's the conclusion that I came to during the break of the point of all this is, yes, Tom Ricketts got cheap on us. Tom Ricketts, during the pandemic, panicked and sold Yu Darvish and fired a lot of people in that organization. And when the water dried up, he stopped spending as well. But all of these decisions of Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo have all shown you that if you would have paid them, you probably would have overpaid them.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe this is more of a baseball decision than anyone wanted to admit. Because if you would have given Javi $200 million a year or two ago, maybe he wouldn't be stressed out. Maybe that's why he's struggling. Maybe Javi has lost his swag. And maybe he'd be playing better, but now he's not playing free like he always has. He's thinking about all the dollars he's lost. Now Rizzo's back is bulky, getting even worse. His last 2 years have been his worst 2 years in a Cubs uniform as he turns 32 years old. Chris Bryant never has returned to the MVP level of 2016. So while we all got mad at Tom Ricketts, maybe what's best for the baseball team is that you didn't sign any of them, and they're probably not worth as much as you thought they were at one point.
It was a distinct possibility as the season began. Now, I don't know if it's because they evaluated these players and didn't think as they projected they'd be worth it, or this is the byproduct of them not having the budget to pay these guys. Regardless, it may turn out that it's the right decision. Now, and the reason I reference that is that they didn't pay Castellanos. They didn't want to pay Yu Darvish. So I'm not so sure what they did was is they evaluated their own guys correctly and decided they weren't worth spending money on. What I think probably happened is they tightened the purse strings. And at the end of the day, it ended up being the right decision because you've seen a decline in those guys play collectively. I'm not saying you got lucky, but you made the right decision indirectly is a possibility.
After all the angst, like it may turn out that none of those guys were worth the amount that they have ever wanted.
That they
wanted.
Were looking for.
Right. And like, yes, and someone pointed out on Twitch or on Twitter that, hey, a lot of the media was calling the Cubs cheap at $70 million for Rizzo. Now, that looks generous. Tyler told us on, what was it?
Spot Track.
Spot Track.
Their projected salary for Rizzo next year is?
$12.8 million.
Based on his performance.
Right. And it's 2 years now. It's that one down year in the middle of a pandemic.
If you're down on what they did from a financial perspective on your evaluation of Yu Darvish and Nicholas Castellanos, then I think that your displeasure is warranted. I do.
Yeah. Robert in Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. Thanks.
Good. So I guess all I really wanted to say was I agree with everything you guys are saying about some of this stuff with Castellanos and Darvish being a little bit questionable. I guess my thought is, though, in terms of Baez and Rizzo particularly, I don't think the same could be said about Bryant, is that I do feel like moving forward here this season, perhaps the best thing that the Cubs can do is stand pat at the deadline. Because it seems to me that most of the time your organization is really built from the ground up via the draft and scouting. I mean, it's just a lottery as to whether a trade for a prospect is really going to be worth it. And maybe these guys, when they test the open market and see what they're getting offered, I mean, maybe the Cubs can get a couple of these guys back on team-friendly deals, you know?
Yeah, I know, but like, what if there are prospects, Robert, that you scout and that you like, and just like the last rebuild, you know, you set a core by making trades and scouting well. You know what I mean? Like the Arrieta deal. I'm not saying that the next guy's going to be you acquired Arrieta. You acquired Hendricks. Those are two great pitchers on a World Series team. You got your shortstop in Addison Russell via the trade. You know, you got Anthony Rizzo with the Cashner trade. All these came through trades. How many of those first-round draft picks have really panned out to? Has Ian Happ panned out to what you thought he would be?
No.
Did Schwarber? You know, Bryant did, yes. Did Almora?
No.
Like, you want to bank on draft picks?
Well, it's not necessarily that I only want to bank on draft picks, but I do want to see the Cubs be able to get some of the, you know, admittedly diminished value that they currently have at a reasonable price to make a transition process perhaps a little smoother. And I think part of the whole problem when you're talking about some of these transactions is perhaps that the fan base doesn't have quite the same confidence in Jed Hoyer as they did with Theo Epstein, sure, you know, at the helm.
No, and that's fair, Robert. Thank you. Mike in Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, guys. I got a comment on both the Sox and the Cubs. I'll start with the Sox. Rodon. As of May 21st, I knew for sure he was going to be a Yankee next year. If you look back and you see how he pitched against the Yankees, he struck out 13 guys. And I knew at that point the Yankees were going after him. And you could say goodbye, because I cannot imagine that that the Sox can match what the Yankees are going to offer, because they're suffering with the legacy of John Danks and how that all went down. So that's my first comment.
Okay.
Second comment on the Cubs. Hey, it's teardown time. We've had Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant in 2017, 18, 19. Younger versions of today, better versions of today. Why do you think, if they haven't won a World Series then, that there's any hope for it in the future? Jed Hoyer has known from the beginning. The past doesn't matter. Where he sits today, he's got to get rid of all three of them or not try to sign them, because he's just got to move on with a new set of characters. That's my take on both.
All right, good calls, Mike, or good points on that call. And obviously we want to hear from you at 312-332-3776.
I still believe those players have value. They don't have the player value that they did before. But you're going to have to fill a lot of spots with that Cubs team going forward. If you filled one of them with Javi at your price and Rizzo on a short deal at your price, for whatever reason, they still have some value.
All right. We'll continue to take your phone calls. And then tonight, the Deer District is expecting more than 60,000 people. How excited are you for tonight's Game 6 of the NBA Finals? Are you finally in to this series? We'll get to that in 2 short minutes.